back. I'll be right back, gentlemen.
Now, yeah, I have a, I guess it's, like you were talking about, I have an LDG tuner made for the ICOM, and it does a really good job, but I have to go back and check, but maybe on 80 it was a little higher than 2. I may not have been able to tune it, because I cut the wires to match, and I do have it like you do in the trees, but I didn't have enough to go for 80 meters. I think they needed something like, I don't know, was like about 80 feet on each side. And the current one I have works with a 40 pretty well. But, well, maybe 80 did work, and it's the 160 that I couldn't do. I don't know. I have a ton of wire left because it could go as high as, I guess, 160. And that took an enormous amount of wire, which they gave you, but I didn't use. So if you ever need antenna wire, you know, let me know.
I might take you up on that when I figure out where we're going. But for now, I have my makeshift stuff. It's weather-resistant, like speaker cord, actually. I think 14 gauge. And I just split it and used, you know, a single strand or a single wire from it. And yeah, I know it's not ideal, but it'll do what I need it to do. And it, I don't need it to last forever at the moment. So, that makes sense, though. It's probably 160. Yeah, my rig just does 80 through 10 with none of the WARC bands. It's that basic old Atlas radio. And one of these days I'll get something else, but it was a good start.
I'm back.
Okay. I was saying to Neil that the tuner I have is a roller tuner, and it works pretty well. But I might have been misspeaking. I'll have to check tonight. I know I can't get anywhere near the 160 band, 160 meters, but maybe I can do 80. So 75 shouldn't be that much off. I'll have to try it tonight and take a look. I'll let you know what I find. But I hope that they come out with a kit that has different band capability. I mean, it seems weird to have just settled on 75 meters, don't you think? Neil, and then over to Al.
Well, yes and no. It's a very popular band. You know, you can get some pretty amazing results down there at night. I've been listening to it since I was a little kid and always amazed at the action down there. So, and it's based on, you know, if you read the little biography there, it's based on an old design. So it's a good portable rig. You know, you go off into the woods and you can definitely lay enough wire in the shrubs and the trees to make the thing work. And I think that's what they're talking about. That was the original design of the radio, was for campers. And these, you know, QRP people that go off into the woods and string wire in the trees. So there's some good stuff out there. I was impressed with the price of the kit and what it was capable of doing for that price. Just very well designed. And even though I really have no way to fire it up with my current setup, I might build one anyway and then make it a project to get the thing to tune up. Al?
What the hell know about the kit, maybe?
Yeah, on a fast quickie, before I take it, what's this kit you're talking about?
So if you're, I don't know if you're familiar with the company, Hendrix QRP Kits. He put out a bunch of designs by Steven Weber and some of the other people who win the awards, you know, for these homebrew kits in QST every year. He has a version of the M-Cars. A few of, you know, the popular radio designs on there. Most of them are CW. He has one sideband radio that he's had for a little while. And a bunch of little accessory products for these little QRP kits. And he's known for having some of the best kits on the market. And he just came out with a 75-meter sideband kit, which is based on an older design that everybody loved, but by the time they got the kit to market, some of the parts were unavailable. So they redesigned it. Sells for about $120, and it's just an ingenious little kit. It'll do CW or sideband, and it has a little microcontroller, so you can key up for half a second, I think, to switch it to CW mode, or switch it into tune mode. It just seems like a nice little design. I think it puts out about 10 watts, and it's all through the hole. Very easy kit.
Sounds cute. It's novel. Yeah, 80 is an interesting band, you know, as far as that goes. I designed a one-tube transceiver on 80, which works phenomenally. It was an electric radio a couple years ago, and with a 5-10 watts, about 8 watts it puts out, and it's a regenerative receiver and it's a crystal control transmitter, and had very good luck with it. And so I got one tube, and it has a side tone and break-in and everything. I was going to market that, just didn't have the time to get involved with it. But 80 is a good band. I've done a lot of work on 80, especially with different types of antennas. And the main thing, if you want to be able to see if you really can make these bands resonate with your tuner, get an antenna analyzer, shove it into your tuner, and then try all sorts of configurations. Even if you have to add inductance before the antenna goes to the tuner to be able to bring it down to 80 or 160 meters. It can be done. You don't have to be a rocket scientist. You can work those frequencies. It may not be as efficient because you don't have what we call the aperture, the amount of physical antenna into the ether, but you're still going to radiate and get out. Go ahead, pick it up, K6DPT.
Guys, I have to sign out for now. Maybe I'll pick you up on my HT office. But otherwise, you have a great day. This is KC2ISK73. Catch you later.
DJ. Hey,
all right, Jay. Hey, we will. We'll catch you later. And there's no traffic today, Hal. I made it to Jamaica Estates here in record time. So I'm going to start hunting for a parking spot. Let me pass it back to you.
Okay, very good. I just pulling into my spot here to grab something this morning before I start my fun and games, so to speak. It's cold. 19 degrees. Oh, my God. It is cold. Listen, have a good day. Don't work too hard. And you'll be amazed what will radiate. When I think about what I do and run Mobile and the distances I've covered, you know, on the lower frequencies, on 20, there's no problem. I work into Europe from a car. But when you talk about, you know, 75 meters, and get out up and down the East Coast here without much of an antenna, just a center load antenna against the counterpoise of the car, basically, and not high power. Talk to you later. K6DPC is clear.
All right, Hal. Thanks for all the info. Have a good day. W2NDG clear. K2YO mobile.
Consulting company in Massapequa. so they've been doing this for a while, since May, and they're treating me good, nice people. So working on a project in part of the projects in New Hyde Park, another part of the projects in Denver, Colorado, and there's another project in Troy, Michigan, and another project in someplace in Ohio, I forget where. But, yeah, telecommuting from Massapequa, not bad.
No, I guess it's not bad. Wait a minute, is this the place you mentioned that's in the same building as the Boy Scouts, Nassau County Boy Scout office?
Yes, yes, and one of the other Boy Scout leaders there, I forget his position, but he met the other Bob that we talked to a lot, OSR.
Yeah, Bob OSR is very active in the Boy Scouts, so he gets around, he's well known. I'm fairly well known there too, but not by everybody. But in any event, not like Bob, but, alright, in any event, so they seem to have work all over the country. Are you going to any of these places, or you just commute to Massapequa?
Usually it's, commute to Massapequa, no plans to travel to any places. The new Hyde Park one wouldn't be a hassle.
Yes, I know from whence you speak, because I've, over the years, had to do some fairly extensive business travel on and off. But lately, I seem to be doing a lot of business travel only to Greenlawn, New York, which is just east of Huntington. And let me tell you, that's so much better when you can be home for dinner with your family.
Years ago, I had a business trip Newton Falls, New York. It was a paper mill. I was supposed to be up there 4 days, was up there 8 days. And you know how the logistics had to change after that time. And the hotel was, the motel in Newton Falls wasn't going to be available because it was going to be condemned the next week. So they put me up in Ossawagatchie, about 6 miles away. And Oswego River, and near Lake Placid, and all sorts of logistics there. I had the ham radio, met a ham at the paper mill, gave me the local frequencies, and was very. When I was off, he was sometimes available. And one morning, he took me up and showed me the repeater site. Of course, I'll never be able to find it without his help. N2QXI.
All right, that was very nice of him to take you out to the repeater site, although I can't think of any very practical use to be able to find such a repeater site again without help, considering that you haven't been back there since, I gather. All right, but I'm glad to hear that's okay. I'm glad to hear they're nice people and they're treating you well. You don't hear that too much these days, so enjoy it while you got it. I don't know, I'm just going in to do the usual shuffling papers and arguing with people. I haven't been doing much traveling lately, except for those trips to Greenlawn. I haven't been on a business trip that involved an airplane or a hotel since, get this, early September. That's like shocking.
They have different drones and stuff that different manufacturers working on. I was thinking of you shuffling papers for some of that, or that's another team working on. There's one that they just supposed to be able to land the drone on the deck of a carrier.
Yeah, that's the same company, but a different group out on the West Coast is running that. Nobody here is working on that. There are some people here working on a maritime surveillance drone, and they do their own shuffling papers and arguing with people. That's awesome.
The building, and then flying back out again. And that was pretty interesting. It looks like a hummingbee. But, of course, it's bigger than a hummingbee. It's about a foot tall, and a hummingbee is maybe 2 inches tall.
First of all, I assume you're talking about the animal known as a hummingbird, not a hummingbee, but that's okay. Yeah, I know. They have some very small things out there now, which is good because they don't go up very high and they don't become a danger to air traffic.
Heard you out there. I think you're on one of the other repeaters. So, sending you a dial. That is pretty interesting.
I'm a little confused by that transmission. What did you say?
Yeah, hummingbird is right. And, I heard you on the air last week on another repeater, but I couldn't talk to you in time. You were at your place or something, so it worked out. I think it was Longfield. So, yeah, good to hear you always.
You were probably talking about the hop-on repeater of the Grumman Amateur Radio Club. I know we use three repeaters, and Longfield isn't one of them.
In the memory. Very good. I'm at Massapequa Broadway and Sunrise at the moment. Hope I'm making it all right.
You're making it fine, but I'm here and I have to go anyway.
Ed, you take care. Have a great day and keep shuffling those papers.
You have a nice day. Ignore the wind and look at the bright blue sunny sky and try to ignore the wind. Who's that? WB2 EAV Mobile. We'll be clear.
Good company, Ed. Have a great day. And to QXI listening.
IKT Mobile.
Net tonight at 8:30 WQVL repeater system.
Delta Papa Zulu, K6DPZ Mobile is listening. Kilowatt 6, David Peter Zebra, K6DPZ Mobile listening. Anybody around? 36 DPZ. Anybody out there?
WNQB Mobile.
If you have more power, it'd be a good time to use it.
Hey, hey. WYK Mobile listening. This is W-A-Q-A-X-O, listening. W-A-Q-A-X-O, A-A-3-K Mobile.
Is that A-D-3-K? This is W-A-Q-X-O.
No, Alpha-Alpha, 3-Kilo. Name is Mark, Mike Alpha Romeo Kilo. Mike Alpha Romeo Kilo, and just crossing over from, Belt Parkway, the Southern State.
All right, you're in transit. Very good. I guess the Southern State is pretty good this time of day, and probably wouldn't have any trouble. So my name is Paul. I'm in Massapequa. I'm up near Coles, on Unqua Road there. So very fine. Just thought I'd see if this radio is still working, and I guess it is. Back to you.
Good morning, Paul. Yeah, traffic's pretty good. Usually when I make this run up here, I leave, if I'm from the Philadelphia area, hence the 3-call, usually I'll leave at like 5 o'clock in the morning, because if I don't cross the Verrazano by 7, forget about it. So... But up for a few days at the main office of my company out in Amityville, North Amityville. And we're about two and a half hour drive here. Might as well practice my driving skills while I'm up here.
Yeah, I guess if you come from a rural area down here in Pennsylvania... It's kind of challenging up here in New York. You work in North Amityville. You work for Excellus?
I figured it out. That's where I'm heading there. And I'm actually originally from... I was born in Nassau. I grew up in Queens. So I learned to drive up here. So everybody, when I started working and coming up here, is warning me about the traffic. And I look at them and said, I learned to drive up here. And it's only gotten worse.
Okay, well, I'm going to tell you who I am. I'm one from one of the original company, AIL, which Excellus is derived from. Many down the road changes of company. I'm the editor and perpetrator of the AIL Retiree Net News. You ever heard of that? Go ahead.
No, I have not heard of that. See, I know that EDO bought AIL and ITT bought EDO. EDO bought MTEC, which is what I'm originally part of down in Pennsy. And then ITT bought EDO, and through one thing and the other, a lot of name changes there. I've actually only been with the company now for 2 years. So a lot of history there I have not been a part of. I'm still the new kid on the block.
Yeah, I do write a newsletter, and it's on the webpage. You can look up AIL Retirees on your Google, and I'll look up my call, and you will get connected to the newsletter. Have a lot of people on that thing. A lot of retirees from AIL, and I know people. Excellus are on there, and so forth. So anyhow, I also meet a lot of retirees at Puppies in Deer Park. I originally worked in Deer Park. Well, actually, I worked all over. I started working at AIL in 1959. And retired in 1990, so I was there for about 32 years. You'll probably run into engineering change notices and stuff that I generated through throughout the years. So I worked on B1 and EA6 and a few of those projects. Go ahead.
Okay, Alpha Alpha 3 Kilo. Okay, well, I'm on the suspension and release side. Now the division name is EARS, Electronic Attack and Release Systems. So, yeah, I'm on the software side of things, but I'm actually under, I don't know if you know him, Jack Higgins. Though with the late with recreating EARS up there, there's been a little bit of scuttlebutt of having me join Jim Kincaid's software group. And yeah, there's advantages and disadvantages. I do borrow resources from Jim to get my stuff down in Warminster, get my stuff done down in Warminster, because we're really a small office down there. I'm actually the only software guy doing the suspension and release stuff, which kind of pulled me in many different directions, not only trying to do all the software stuff, but the project management stuff too, trying to keep the software in good shape and such.
Yeah, I can remember when we first started using software to run some of our stuff. Back, 1980s, I think, we started a software department, and, boy, they had a lot of trouble trying to figure out what to do. They had more trouble with the software than they did the hardware. I don't know if you still have that problem. This is WA2AXO.
Yeah, I call it the care and feeding of software. It can be a very delicate beast. I worked one place. I worked for the director of engineering, and it was a hardware guy and such. And he couldn't understand, why I just couldn't slap stuff together until I was working on a master's, and I had to take a software development class. And it's like after he's like, oh, okay, now I see what you're. Oil you run into. I got a hardware circuit. I got one input, one output. Software, you got 50 inputs and 1,000 outputs.
Yeah, you hope that those 1,000 outputs are going in the right place with the right the right code and stuff. Yeah, I started using programming for test equipment for the B1 job. It was we used HPL language. Now, do you remember HPL?
Thinking, was that a test equipment language developed by HP? It sounds vaguely familiar, but I've never coded in that.
Yeah, well, that was the Hewlett Packard language, and when they first came out with that kind of stuff. So, yeah, then they came out with the IBM 360 and so forth and so on, and boy, I'm telling you, a lot has progressed, and I think there's more power in the PC that I got home here than all the stuff that I worked on over the years. Go ahead.
That is very likely the case. Years ago, somebody who I know worked on satellites and stuff, and this is when the Pentiums were coming out, and he asked, what's the most capable processor in orbit? And people were, saying, oh, Pentium 1, stuff like that. He goes, no, 8286 at that time. He says, just because the issues are known, it's because the service calls are so damn expensive.
Yeah, right. Well, I remember memory cards, which were not chips. They were little ferrite donuts. And they, I don't know how many bits they used, but couldn't have been too big. The cards that they built were probably, a half a foot, like 6 inches square. with all these ferrite beads and so forth. And of course, you could change change it from one to zeros. And so that's, I can remember using that stuff years ago. Go ahead.
Ah, good old core memory. Yeah, I worked on some of that when I first started learning the program back in high school. But believe it or not, when you need to use some non-volatile memory, that stuff's making a comeback. I worked on a aviation radio my last job, and we had a FRAM, a ferroelectric random access memory chip as a non-volatile memory. Did not need any batteries or didn't have to worry about write cycles or anything like that. And as you would say, a flash memory, and you didn't have to worry about the length of writing to the memory. You could write to it, and it would be written within within a microsecond, if that long. So that worked out very well. Don't recall how big it was. We were barely using 100 bytes of it. We didn't have a lot of stuff to remember, but it worked out quite well.
And YDH.
Okay, go ahead, YDH.
Yes, I use it at NY2H, built to Honolulu. Alrighty, guys, yeah. I remember a lot of that stuff. I wonder if you remember how many wires went through the ferrite donut. Each donut, as I recall, had three wires going through it. You had two wires because you had to kind of get up the right, if any particular donut was in a particular row and column, you could energize those two wires so that the particular donut that intersected at those two would change polarity. And you had a sense wire going through there to be able to read it. So I don't know who's in there. My name is Lou, and I'll be in the mobile for a few minutes, and I'm out east here. So over to the next station.
Yeah, okay, yeah, I'll take it. Very good there. That's three wires there. I think that was a sense wire where you could read the which way it was, a one or a zero. All right, 83K, I don't remember your name. Go ahead.
This is Mark, Mike Alpha Romeo Kilo, and the call sign again is Alpha Alpha 3 Kilo. I was gotten an earlier start today, but I was in the ARRLDX contest all weekend, and needless to say, I did not get a lot of sleep. And trying to figure out how to divide my time so I can spend more time in the phone contest next week and the weekend following.
Let me see if I have it.
Yeah, go ahead.
Alrighty, yeah, Claymore, very good on the contest. The other station didn't get your name yet, but alright. We have a computer net that comes on Limark on the third and fourth Wednesday of each month. So it's coming up this Wednesday at 8 p.m. At 8:30 p.m. Normally he can host it, but he's going to be away, so I'll be hosting it this weekend as Net Control. So if you guys would like to log in, that will be 8:30 Wednesday. With that, I'm at my destination. I'm going to clear 7-3, Mark and the other fellow over there. I'll send it back to the other fellow. Again, my name is Lou over here. 7-3 for now, I'm going to H Mobile, clear. Port Jefferson, New York.
Okay, 73, Lou. This is AA3K. Take it, Paul.
Yeah, all right, Lou. Take care of yourself, and it's nice making contact with you. I guess they have nets all over the place. I don't know if you know K2RIW, who I worked with for many, many, many years, Dick, and he runs the TechNet on Sunday evenings on this repeater. Have you ever run into Dick? Go ahead.
No, I haven't. So I have to admit, in all my trips up there and usually running around, I usually lose weight when I'm up there. I'm running back and forth between production and the main building and all over for stuff I support. At least half the people up there know me by sight.
All right, Mark. Yeah, that's the way I am, too. I don't remember names too well. I just remember, I remember seeing him or whatever. But let me tell you, as the years go on, people change.
Yeah, you look at that badge picture and you look at them and you realize, yeah, the picture's a few years old. All right, on that note, let me say 73. I'm getting a little bit of traffic here and the exit's coming up. So, good running into you, Paul. And good thing I finally sat down and programmed in a few the one-hour repeaters in so I'd have somebody to chat with and keep me awake here, especially if I'm doing that really early morning run. WA2XYO, I think it was. This is AA3K.
Yeah, that's close, Mark. It's WA2AXO, so America X-Ray Ontario. So, okay, it was nice talking to you. Have a pleasant day. Don't get snowed under too much with those Excellus people over there. So, you take care of yourself and we'll catch you further down the log. This is WA2AXO.
KD2BH Mobile.
Okay, I guess a KB2BH, is that the call? This is WA2AXO.
KB2AXO. Kilo Delta 2. Bravo Alpha Hotel. KD2BAH. First name is Kevin. Good morning, guys.
I think there's only one guy left there. It's me. My name is Paul. WA2AXO. Mark. Bowed out, so, anyway, are you mobile there, Kevin?
Yeah, copy that. I'm out here in Suffolk County. Top of the morning to you, Paul. Just getting out of the house. I wound up being off today from work. Customer had to reschedule the job, so I'm off today. Gonna go to Home Depot and return a few things, buy a few things. Probably wind up spending more buying than returning. That's the way it works. But yes, I'm mobile in Suffolk County around the Islip area. Talking on a ISU FTM 350AR. Over to you, Paul.
Okay. Well, you're not solid into the computer. With, you're Q5 as far as copying you. Well, I have a Kenwood TM281. It's only a 2-meter radio, and that's all I wanted, 2 meters, and really rugged thing. It runs well, and it's running up to an antenna on the top of my roof, which is about 30 foot up. And I don't remember the name of it. It's a stick with ground plane radios on the bottom of it. And I don't know where I ever got that antenna, but it's been up there for years. It's working well. Go ahead.
It's definitely DFQ. I mean, you said that it wasn't DFQ that I'm hitting the machine now. I'm in space very much that far. But, yeah, this radio, I don't know. They technically classify it as a tri-bander because it does 2 meter 440 and 220. But it only does 1 watt on 220, so I really wouldn't consider it a tri-bander. Nor do I use the 220 portion of it. I call it an overworked dual bender. There you go. Thank you, Paul.
Yeah, okay, well, this radio, single band, I'm running 25 watts right now. It can put out 65, but I don't need to use that much. Unless I'm working simplex or something like that. But this radio does a good job. I have an HF station, and it's a ICOM IC751. And I have a linear, which is an FL7000, and all that kind of stuff. So the antenna is very meek. It's a trap dipole strung out in the yard, so it works. By the way, 15 meters is hopping. I don't know if you, hey, Jeffer, go ahead.
No, not yet. Taking my general test on March 3rd at the upcoming Live Bar convention, or Hamfest, rather. Then I'll be looking to get myself at the HF rig. I gotta put my pennies away, though. I have high taste. I've been looking at, like, the FT-2000 Yaesu and the FT-5000 Yaesu. I like the radios. I like radios. I don't know. Back to you, Paul. Home Depot looks busy as ever. What else is there? Whenever I have to go to Home Depot to do something simple, it always seems like it's really busy. And the days that I come here to do a lot of stuff, it's dead. So I guess that's a good day. Can't complain too much about that.
Yeah, Home Depot's an interesting place. I mean, you can go in there looking for one item, come out with more than one, actually. Oh, yeah, I need a couple bulbs, some drill bits, all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, it's a busy place. They get started early in the morning over there. So this is WA2AXO for ID.
KD2BAH for ID. What is the on?
Actually, just reminds me of the light bulb for my bathroom. That reminds me of the supply house to return that stuff, too.
Dang, you reminded me of a bunch of things. All right, folks, jumping out for a few minutes. This is KD2BAH, first name, Kevin.
I'll be back in about 5-10 minutes. I just got to return something and get something real quick.
KD2BAH, I'm clear.
Okay, Kevin. All right, meeting up with you, and maybe we'll catch you again further down the walk. So this is WA2XO. I will be listening.
K2QBV Mobile, K2QBV Mobile, listening repeat.